Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
On that note, welcome back to Faking Movies, everybody. This is We are all disgusting boys.
We're disgusted by everything.
And this, yeah. And we are here for astonishingly the 37th consecutive week.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Unbroken.
That's so many. So many weeks.
Actually, I mean, like, mentally broken, but, you know, streak-wise, unbroken.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. This is the shenanigans and nonsense that we have been spouting is breaking me mentally.
Yes.
I am shambling around in my underwear all the time. Yeah. Like, I don't know what's happening.
When I look at you, all I see is time bomb. That's all. Yeah. It's
guys, I just found an orange on my desk.
Oh, God.
In no way shocked. You have multiple citrus fruits in your room.
That's
growing.
That is growing. True.
Yeah. That is a fair point.
Accurate.
For all I know, a pile of dirt sprouted an orange tree under your desk and you just didn't notice it.
That
I think
is entirely possible. Yeah.
The backdrop is two walls, but it's just in the woods, and Seth put up like drywall and framed it all out.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's woods in the background. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, normally I would introduce everybody, but sounds like we did that on our own.
Hey
Zach. Hey Seth. What up?
Ooh. I just found an orange on my desk.
Oh, did you? Tell us more. So yeah, this is episode 37. As always, check out our websites. Go to fakingmovies.com to check out the actual show. And if you want to head over to our WordPress, fakingmovies.wordpress.com, Seth has been posting some really fucking funny stuff lately.
Yeah. Be good.
I am thoroughly enjoying it. And based on how many likes on Instagram we've been getting when I post those things, no one else has, but it happened. So,
you know. Jokes just for us, which is fine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, 37 episodes worth. That's true. Mm-hmm. That's entirely true.
Yep.
Sure enough.
Okay.
Sorry, I would have thrown over to Seth's episode, but I was drinking beer. Seth!
Yeah.
You are faking a movie this week. Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, I'm faking a movie inexplicably called The PCU.
Yup, if you haven't seen this movie, that is very little information.
Yeah, it was super little information. So little, in fact, that I have three different plots.
Okay, I was gonna say, so we had talked about this when you didn't know what to do, and I was like, it doesn't give you a lot of information. However, it is ripe for acronym expansion, as we discussed.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You can make anything out of PCU, like anything.
See,
so good.
See, that's the thing though, because like, I like to make art within constraints, and I had no constraints this time, so it was incredibly difficult to kind of
Seth.
Uh huh.
I do want to hear all of your ideas.
Uh-huh.
But first, Zach, do you want to bet on what theme we think he settled on?
Oh, my heavens, yes. Oh, I wish I had like 72 hours to think about it. But yes, we should definitely do that.
Yep.
I really wish we had thought about this beforehand.
Yeah.
There
are three. There are three completely unrelated plots here.
Okay. Answer for me, my riddles. Yes. Three.
One tells only lies, and one tells only truths. And the other is...
The other one is a recipe for guacamole.
Yikes.
Wait, is that... Did we make... I know that we were riffing on something, but did we full-on rip it off just then? I can't remember.
I don't think so.
Anyway.
So, what do you guys think my themes would have been?
Oh. The words that are coming to mind for me, the C is definitely clown. I'm gonna go clown on the C.
Okay. Interesting choice.
I guess you would be unit, as in some sort of police force, and then
police clown unit.
Yeah. Oh yeah, police clown unit. That's it. That's the one. Yeah. It's the NCIS Goof 'em Ups police clown unit. Yeah.
Yep. Oh
starring,
god.
Starring
I really
Rob
want that
Corddry
to be true.
And the rest of the crew. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
this is very.
I really enjoyed Children's Hospital.
I did
that
too.
Was a good show.
Yeah. It was. Very
I never
good.
Watched
yeah.
it.
Oh, it's in, it's
you should,
very nice.
You didn't, I think you'd like it.
Yeah. Very short, too. Short eps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Zach has police clown unit.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to try to figure out what the acronym stands for, but what I think, my bet is going to be that it's a chemistry-based movie, and it's based around the discovery of an element so volatile that it could only be known as PCU.
So dangerous we couldn't really name it. We just gave it names.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, those are your two. Okay. Well,
sounds like we did
oh,
not
also
nail
Seth.
It.
Yeah, but could you give us the cast?
Yeah, I was going to give you the cast and then I was going to jump into the first not well thought out plot, then the second not well thought out plot, and finally the one that is a little more fleshed.
That seems like a good order. Yep.
Yeah. So, PCU starring Jeremy Piven, John Favreau, David Spade, Jessica Walter, and George Clinton.
Oh, what
George
a cast.
Clinton of Parliament Funkadelic fame.
Correct. Uncle to Bill now, and
let me
Grandmaster
ask you, Seth.
Of Funk.
Oh boy!
Did you assume that Bootsy Collins would also be in the movie, or do you think it was just a solo job?
I did not write anything with Bootsy Collins in it, but
that's a shame. Okay. That's a shame. All right.
Okay. So, the first plot, Lee, you were really close. And this is not the one I went with, but it was PCU stands for. Pentacyclounidecane.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sure enough.
Which is a it's a like lactam peptide base HIV protease inhibitor sort of thing.
We get it, you're smart. Oh, Hashtag job market.
Yeah.
And so in this one, our cast was on a mission to the Amazon to find the chemical PCU, which is only found in certain poison dart frogs. This is not true, but, it's an entirely synthesized, peptide, but, it's only found in certain poison dart frogs, but, we had, like, Jessica Walter, who was, like, a Jane Goodall sort of situation. She was in the Amazon and was famous, and then
She lived among the poison dart frogs. She became one of
them. Yeah. Well, she just kind of got lost, and they find her kind of living on her own off of the land, and then George Clinton is, like, the bankroller who turns out to be evil. That was sort of my theme.
Ugh.
Would not have guessed that, but I like
that.
Man,
yeah, I'd be totally fine with that movie.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that is the plot of Congo. So
yeah, kind of. Yeah,
it's also pretty not similar, but like it has some echoes of that Sean Connery movie from the 80s where he was like a scientist medicine guy, like lost in the Amazon.
The one called Medicine Man, I think.
Yeah, there you go, that one.
Yeah,
All right.
It's similar to that, yeah. And that sort of thing is
out.
Kind of in the zeitgeist already, so, yeah.
Sure.
The second one that I didn't flesh out is called PCU, Please Clean Up.
And this is a movie about my roommates.
Friend of the show.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
In this one, most of the cast is a bunch of minor criminals who are on like a roadside cleanup sort of gig. And Jessica Walter is the warden, and Jon Favreau is, like, the kind of shitty guard, because that is kind of what he does. But they...
Yeah, because he's kind of, like, a bigger dude. Yeah,
he's a bigger dude, and he, like, tends to not be so jovial in any role. Like, he's never happy. He's never, ever happy in anything he
does. Which is ironic, because he plays Happy Hogan in the Iron Man movies.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's ironic.
Happy director?
No.
Although I guess Happy is itself an ironic nickname in that movie.
Yeah.
So I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, our...
gotta get a plug-in for those Marvel movies. They need our help.
Yeah, they really do.
Sure do.
They've been flagging recently. Especially with Black Panther coming out soon.
Yeah, very soon. Next week? Well, I guess probably right now.
Two weeks ago.
Yeah.
Black Panther, which came out 2 weeks ago.
It was
too.
Very good, I hear. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, the crew eventually like uncovers some kind of plot concerning like pollution that the prison is complicit in, and no one will believe our David Spade or Jeremy Piven's whatever. Because they are criminals, and they go about hatching a plan to expose the corrupt warden and, you know, save the ecosystem all from within the prison, that sort of thing.
So this is, like, a better version of that movie, Let's Go to Prison.
Yeah, or, yeah. I guess
Zach, you might need to bleep that up, too.
Okay.
Nobody wants to watch that.
I don't know if
we're never gonna do that movie.
We don't have the budget for these bleeps. Shit.
Okay, so now we can get into the one...
We blew all our money on White Shrek.
Oh, yeah, man, we sure did. Oh,
my God.
Freaking White Shrek.
It was worth it.
Oh, so upsetting. Oh. Oh, boy. Anyway, so we now have PCU, and I'll get to what it stands for as we go through the plot. Sure. And so this one is ostensibly a comedy. All of them have been ostensibly comedies, but that's something that
This is your real one now?
Yeah, this is the one that I fleshed out more.
Okay.
And so just keep that in mind, fellas, that this is ostensibly a comedy because
this does not bode well.
Yeah.
If this is a pitch meeting, you are really not doing well. Buddy.
Well, I mean...
You walk into the room, there's a whiteboard, you write comedy in huge letters. Everybody's like, I don't know about this.
And underline it twice.
Yeah.
And then, like, look everyone in the eye and mouth, remember.
Yeah. all right, excellent.
So... we open to a bunch of, like, hooded figures, like, chanting and performing some sort of arcane ritual. And we pan up to Piven and Spade in robes, but, like, looking super worried at each other, but continuing to chant, mumbling, you know, they're just kind of, like, they're clearly not comfortable where they are.
Okay.
This is a frat initiation, isn't it?
No.
No.
I did think about doing a university sort of thing, but I ultimately like decided that that would be stupid.
Well,
okay.
So
more on that
because
later.
It would get a because it would get like real fratty and dumb. But this does have a cult involved, and that is pretty similar
fratty
to most
dumb.
Fraternities. Yeah,
we all went to a school where there were alleged. Cult-esque sort of organizations.
Oh,
yeah.
we sure did. I saw I saw one time on a roof that I climbed one of their weird rituals.
Oh wow.
It was super weird.
Let's definitely get into that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that off mic because I don't want them coming after me.
I don't know, it sounds like a pretty good mini episode.
Yeah, talking about that time I climbed the building and saw people like in a circle talking on top of a roof. Yeah,
yeah,
weird.
Absolutely.
I used to climb buildings a lot, which probably isn't the best
part. I'm into it.
I knew that about you. I didn't know that.
Yeah. When we were all at that same university, I used to climb them.
Yeah.
Because
the
there are
school
some...
of hard knocks.
Yep.
Seth,
okay.
Seth and I have masters from the School of Hard Knocks, but Zach is a doctor.
Yeah, sure enough. Oh, so many knocks, so hard. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so we have that opening scene, and then we flash to, we get to see, like, Piven and Spade as, like, office workers or something, it doesn't really matter, but their lives before and their lives kind of suck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, like, things are generally, like, kind of goofy and dumb, and, like, there, but there's, like, office space levels of being frustrated at everything.
Yeah, okay.
And then we eventually see, like, a poster offering for them to join, like, an activity club of some nature. I couldn't think of a good word for this. I can't think of a good word for this, but, like, it promises to lead them to a more enriched and exciting life if they join, that sort of thing. So, you know, normal cult stuff.
Right, yeah, sure. Standard, yep.
Yeah. Then we meet Favreau, who, is super nice, right now, and, like, they go to more meetings, and they learn about, like, the whole point of this thing is they learn the secrets of the universe, and, you know, it's all, like, everything is more attractive. It's basically, like, get enlightenment and that sort of thing. But they start getting in real deep in this weird cult, and they meet, Jessica Walter and George Clinton, who run everything.
What an unlikely pair.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Like, Favreau, when not in view of Walter or Clinton, is, like, increasingly abusive and hazing and that sort of thing. But, remember, fellas, this is a comedy movie, so nothing is too serious.
I had almost forgotten. I can't see I can't see the whiteboard from here.
Yeah, it's true. Eventually, Jessica shows them, like, some sacred texts, which are all, like, worn and shitty, and there's, three words on the cover, per kilo universitas, which means, through secrets, the universe.
Oh.
You just had to slip a foreign language goof in there, didn't you?
Oh, we're not even to the real foreign language goof yet.
Oh, dear.
So, oh, boy.
Oh, heavens. All right.
It's Latin, though. It's Latin, so, I mean...
Yeah.
It's not... I would argue that Latin is not even really a language anymore, because it's not alive. It's just an artifact, but...
Mm. I've heard that.
I mean, save it for the, save it for the linguists. I mean, on the job market.
On the job market. That's a really unpopular linguistic opinion, though. That Latin is not the end-all be-all, and that we shouldn't base all of our grammars off of it and stuff. I think that's...
You hear that, job givers? A boy... My boy Seth Fartnoy's
Chiboy.
Chiboy.
He thinks for himself. He's not a
he's the Timothy Leary of linguistics, this one. Yeah.
What?
Oh boy.
I don't know.
Anyway. George Clinton is
around doing a shitload of LSD? What are you talking about?
Hey, I mean...
Guys, let me get through my damn story. We're already so slow.
If LSD stands for linguistics is so delightful.
Ah, true. True facts.
Yep. Uh-huh. Oh, dear. All right. Good luck.
Okay, so George Clinton is still around, and he's being, like, cheerful and cool, but isn't really doing much at this point. And like, is just not really interacting, he's just around. Eventually, Piven and Spade are so deep in that they have to, like, start committing crimes to collect secrets at the bidding of Favreau and Jessica. They don't feel super comfortable with it, but they're still, like, steal information from various sources, like, the company that they, I would guess, still work at, you know, their neighbors, the government, whatever. It doesn't matter.
So would you say that in this scenario, because I think I might have missed this at the start, is George Clinton, like, could you say maybe he's the head of the parliament of this cult? Or
you son of a bitch.
In a word?
I like how... I like how pleased I am with myself all the time. It's very charming.
I also like that, yes.
Yeah, well, the answer is no.
I mean, certainly he's more of a figurehead than anything. But.
Yeah.
Well, that might go for P-Funk as well, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Alright, anyway.
All of this to the, like, of them stealing all this information to the promised end goal of, like, collecting the right secrets so that they can, like, gain power and they gain control of their lives and, you know, like, learn the mysteries of the universe or whatever.
Okay.
Eventually they screw up a mission because their morals get the best of them.
Ooh.
And, Favreau throws them into a little jail, just as brief punishment. And in that jail, they find George Clinton. What?
Yeah, what's he doing there? He's supposed to be the head of the parliament.
Turns out that the guy that they met before was a George Clinton impersonator.
Whoa.
Who was just there kind of as a figurehead, but this is the real George Clinton. And he tells them that he and Jessica found the text, the sacred text, a long time ago, and started the society to, like, learn the mysteries of the universe, but she corrupted it. And upon re-examining the text, George Clinton learned that the secret society got everything wrong because the text was so old and worn and shitty and hard to read. And so what they had, which was Percello Universitas, is not the correct, like, title of everything.
Can I pause you real quick, Seth?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to walk up to that whiteboard behind you and draw another line under comedy and point you toward that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm not enjoying this story.
Uh-huh,
I am.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I don't know if there's any jokes going.
Yeah. No, there's non-jokes. It's all like stupid goof-em-ups of all of these frat pack sort of movies of this of like the mid late 90s and early 2000s. That's what I was anticipating, is like, it isn't really a comedy, but it has a bunch of stupid random goofs all the time.
So you're saying if you were making this movie, you would give, like, for instance, Piven some room to, like, improvise some goofs.
Yeah, there'd be like ad libs, and it'll probably get uncomfortably racist every once in a while.
You don't say.
Yeah.
With David Spade in the mix? How dare you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Like, because I picture this in the, like, mid to late 90s, early 2000s, like, there's gonna be some, like, gay panic goofs, that...
Without a doubt.
That, like, real uncomfortable and real stupid, but were what counted as comedy at this time period, apparently.
Sure.
Okay. Anyway, that's how this is a comedy, not... and then there's, like, this completely non-comedy plot running underneath it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm into it. Go for it. Like,
yeah, okay. Certainly.
So, we learn that the text isn't what everybody in the cult thinks it is. There's something else. And George Clinton promises to tell them what it really says if they help him escape from prison and, like, fix the wrongs that Jessica's PCU cult has, like, they just, like, all the terrible things they've been doing.
Okay.
So, they escape, there's a hilarious fist fight with Favreau, you know, like, Jeremy Piven and David Spade both being shitty and trying to fight him, and I'm sure somebody will jump on somebody's back and spin around, and it'll be like a real shitty, stupid fight.
Sure.
But eventually, whatever happens, and they depose Jessica, and all is right. And after everything settles down, they finally remember to ask George Clinton what the text actually means, and he says, "Oh no, it's not Percillo Universitas; it's Percina Universi." Which means through dinner, togetherness.
oh, fun. Okay.
Fuck.
And the whole point is not to collect information and screw people over, but to eat, drink, and be merry. Let me finish. And, like, to help other people, like, with food and shelter and service and these sort of things. So the movie ends with, like, a big party, and everybody is, like, eating and having fun, and then a bunch of still frames of Piven and Spade and George Clinton and, like, other former cult members doing, like, philanthropic activities. So it's all about, through dinner, togetherness and helping your community, not being asshole.
That's really sweet.
Wow, yeah, mm-hmm. Turned it around there. That's nice. Okay. Yeah.
What I was going to say when you gave the reveal was, it's cookbook! It's a cookbook!
That would have been good. That would have been really good.
Classic Twilight Show goofs.
Oh, that would have been...
Twilight Zone, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been really good. Yeah, okay. But the whole point is that, you know, people have perverted whatever old stuff into not being about caring about other people.
Yeah.
And so about being about personal gain.
It's a happy ending, and then that's kind of goofy, so the comedy does come around there at the end. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah. Nominally.
Yeah, seems good. All right.
I was gonna say, that was a... That's felt a little like Christian Brothers-y.
I don't know what that is.
It's like a semi... It's a religious kind of group, but it's like a semi-monkish kind of... Like, charitable, kind of.
Like,
they run a lot of schools and stuff.
Like the Buttercream Gang?
No, no.
Like the... Not like the Buttercream... Like the Garbage Pail Kids? What,
Even yeah. less like that.
It kind of sounds like it. Yeah, no, I mean, it was just about, you know, like... People being good people.
Yeah, that's a feel-good time. Where? So, in your timeline...
who need people?
Oh, boy. In your timeline, where this is where this is like late 90s, early 2000s, we established previously like the 90s were a very idealistic time. So I think this is a fitting ending for sort of that era, right? Where it's like,
yeah,
hey,
I mean,
we're just trying to be cool.
Yeah, and
do good deeds. Yeah.
Like many movies of this period, everything is just kind of shoehorned in.
Certainly. You know? Yep. Tote's good.
Yeah.
I can see that.
So, what happened in the real version of what I can only imagine is an incredibly shitty movie?
I would agree with you, but we'll get there. I would strongly disagree with you.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
So PCU IMDb, 1994. A high school senior visits college for the weekend and stays at the wildest house on campus in the classic tale of anti-political correctness.
The classic tale of anti-political correctness?
That uh-huh. So Lee has a bunch to say about that, I think, yeah.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Yeah. So like, within,
this sounds
within
like
the
a
context,
garbage fire.
Within the context of the movie, it's Port Chester University, but it's, you know, derisively referred to as politically correct university.
Yeah. I looked
so
this up.
Like,
I think it takes place in Toronto. I think it's University of Toronto or something. It's something in Canada.
I thought they were saying that it was like, I think it was in Connecticut, I thought, because they're talking about going to Hartford and things
Yeah, but it was filmed. Sorry. It was filmed in real life at University of
Toronto. Oh, I see.
It's very that collegial.
That makes sense for tax purposes. And U Toronto campus is pretty, like, yeah, it's pretty, like, classic university looking.
Yes.
Yeah, there's like a quad and it's very like bucolic. Yeah. Lots of beautiful old mansion style houses.
Yeah, lake effect snow everywhere.
tons of that. All right. So Lee, if you don't mind, can I give like a 30-second thing and then we can get into points? I think we got a lot of points.
You can give as long of a summary as you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll help you out.
I could. It would be hard to go longer than 30 seconds for this movie, I think.
That is entirely fair.
Okay, so yeah, kid in high school comes to college, wants to like learn all the things about like, he's a goody two shoes. He ends up
He's got like a sports jacket on and like an Oxford shirt and khakis.
Is this like Orange County and stealing Harvard, except without any action, like a theft?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
No?
Well, so he shows up he's supposed to shadow Jeremy Piven. Jeremy Piven lives in this house that is like this old, amazing, giant, like, I don't think it was a frat house, but it's like, it's huge.
No, it was. It was, okay. That's one of the plot points.
It was
a frat house until they made frats, like banned frats in the 60s. And then it became like a hippie commune.
Yeah. So it's a hippie commune.
And it has become known as the pit because it's like, this is where all the most like,
deplorable
people end up. Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty consistent thing at almost every university I've ever been at. There's always one of those houses, one of those shitty.
So David Gross Spade houses. Is the king of the frat bros. He's the enemy, of course. They all wear
they've kept their frat going for 35 years in secret, kind of thing. And they're the
David.
Well, he's the latest head of it. He's the most recent
and
head.
David Spade.
This is the '90s. It's the '90s. He's young.
They are a super young Republican-y type group. If that helps.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so
old money
they,
Connecticut kind of stuff.
So they want this house. Jessica Walters is the president of the university. David Spade,
a woman with
go
a hyphenated
figure.
Last name, which they make much fun of throughout the movie.
I'm sure they do.
How dare she?
They do. So he makes a plot with her.
Oh, that's tedious.
he makes a deal with her where they're gonna kick out the scum that live in the pit, and then the frat's gonna take it back over.
Okay, sure.
So they.
Oh, and the reason that Piven is supposed to be showing this kid around. Is one of his roommates is getting revenge on him. It's a prank. He like volunteered him as a prank.
Right.
Hilarious prank.
Yeah. So
I guess
they've obviously had some infractions in the pit, and Jessica Walters informs them that they will be kicked out unless they can pay like a whole bunch of fines. I think it's like $7,500 or something. So their whole,
of course, like 25 people seem to live there. It seems like it would have been. Accomplishable
rent that would have been like $100 a person or something. It was like surprisingly not bad. And so they're like, oh shit, how are we gonna do this is impossible. Then the side sort of trope of this movie is this was the 90s and this was like a very liberal artsy kind of college, and every group is represented at this place, but to the absolute extreme. So there's feminists that protest literally 24/7 about everything. And then like there's a bunch of like weed smoking hippies and all they care about is playing Ultimate Frisbee. And then like, everybody's protesting everything. And so the people at the pit are like bothered by this because they're usually the brunt of this protesting.
Because they're so laid back and cool.
Yeah.
And they don't care what people think about. They don't. They're sick of this political correctness. Yeah.
So long story short, they hatch this plan where they're gonna have a party and they're gonna try to make this money back by charging a cover. And so
this is when Piven gets to give his like rousing leading man pump up speech.
Yeah.
And you know for me it fell flat? It's because he was clearly like 37.
I have written down
he was playing someone who's supposed to be like 24.
Yeah, I have written down who let male pattern baldness 34-year-old Jeremy Piven stay in college and live on campus for I guess 16 years at that point.
Well, they say explicitly at one point that he's been in college for 7 years and is finally graduated.
So he's the Van Wilder before Van Wilder.
Oh, Van Wilder that isn't charismatic.
Well,
right. But David Spade is his like nemesis because they were freshman year roommates, and they kind of gloss over that David Spade's character has clearly also been in college this long.
Apparently.
Unclear. So it's a real Ted Cruz and whoever that guy who was roommates with Ted Cruz situation.
Sure, yeah. Why not?
Yeah, okay. I remember that.
Also the Zodiac Killer.
Oh, right, yeah, of course.
Oh, you know what I watched almost immediately after I watched PCU?
Zodiac.
What a good fucking movie that is. Yeah.
Oh dear.
That is inexplicable.
So they're gonna throw this party, But the problem is, like, the feminists show up to protest, and then a bunch of other people show up to protest, and they're like, shit, what are we going to do? And so they're real, like, rally cries. They go out, and they're like, wait, everybody's protesting, but, like, wouldn't it be cool if we all just got along for one night? Maybe we could all be friends. And then George Clinton, inexplicably, his bus breaks down right around campus.
So, yeah, we've skipped over that Jon Favreau's character is, like, kind of the screw-up of this house.
Very much so, yeah.
And they send him out to get the beer for the party, and he gets super high with Jake Busey.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Jake Busey. Why didn't you give me him?
Okay, so Starship Troopers. We thought about Starship Troopers is right around this time, but this is a long-haired onesie tie-dye wearing Jake Busey. It's crazy.
I think, Zach, you even made the comment, was he in Soul Asylum? He looks like
the lead singer. Yeah. It's amazing.
So they send Jon Favreau to get the beer for the party, and he gets super high, and he's just walking around, like, downtown of, like, every tiny college town you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Basically, his arms are in, like, a fencing reaction, like he just got a concussion.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he lays down on the sidewalk, and the stores are all closed, but George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic's bus pulls up.
Yep.
And they're going to miss their show in Hartford. And he's like, give me a ride back to my place. And they're like, all right, come on, man. Yep. And they end up playing the party.
Yeah.
Naturally.
And so, like, Jeremy Piven convinces the entire campus to, like, oh, yeah, we can all just get along. And so they throw this party. They also happen to lock Jessica, Walter, and, like, the entire administration into a room in a different building so that they can't come break this shenanigans up. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they throw the whole party, and then it's all good.
Oh, they also stole all the liquor from that party.
They did, on skateboards, somehow. They stole an entire bar, an entire bar, like, bar and all, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, so yeah, they throw the party, they make all the money, and then they're still gonna get kicked out because, like, loopholes. David Spade's a dick,
Before they convinced everyone to come and party with them, they, all those people lodged a bunch of complaints about the party.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So Jessica Walter's ammunition is, look at all these complaints I have.
Right. But somehow, I think it's Jeremy Piven, like, knows that the board...
It's the little wormy kid that came to visit college.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, figures out that nobody actually likes Jessica Walters, and the board wants...
And the board is just looking for an excuse to fire her.
Yeah, so as it turns out, graduation happens to be the next day.
It's graduation and bicentennial celebration all in one day.
So they hatch this plan where they're going to sabotage it, and that'll be the straw that broke the camel's back for Jessica Walters, and they'll kick her out, and then she's the one that's sort of enacting this evil plan against them. So if she's gone, they get the house back and it's all fine.
And one of the things, the reason is this kid overhears at this party that the board of directors are like, she's had a protest on campus every single day this entire academic semester.
Right.
One more protest and we're getting rid of her. Like, that's the ammunition we need. So they incite a protest.
Yep.
Where I think the chant is no more protesting.
It's we're not going to protest. We're not going to protest. Yeah. Over and over. And so that's the goof, is that all of these groups find common ground on, like, we're not that different because we had this rager last night and it's all cool. And we also don't like the administration. So we're not going to protest, but as a protest. Yeah.
There was one little goof that I liked in that scene where, the little wormy kid is, like, handing out we're not going to protest signs. Mm-hmm. And one of the super feminist girls goes, no, thanks. We've got our own. And she just pulls out, like, a whiteboard on a stick.
It's like a
bunch of
it's like a retractable thing. Like, she hits a button and, like, the sign, like, flings out. It's amazing.
Yeah. And she, you know, it's like she with a bunch of dry erase markers and she
makes her own sign. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it ends as you would expect. So she does get kicked out. The board is like, that's it, you're out. And then the people get their house back. David Spade is sort of run off the campus because there's some recording where they realize that he was the one sort of orchestrating this whole deal the whole time. Then the kid goes home, like, on a bus, and it's like the best weekend of his life. So
Yeah, and
this all takes place in one weekend?
Yeah. No, it takes place over the course of one day.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's like 2 days, but yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Like noon to noon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, Piven, this will piss Seth off even more.
God.
Tedious romantic subplot. Piven gets the girl.
Oh, yeah, Piven, of course Piven gets the girl who is part of the feminists, but is, like, sort of on the
is
fence.
Is it Jessica Walter?
It's not.
No. It was some actress we didn't recognize the name
of. Yeah. But yeah, so she's part of the feminist, and she like kind of likes Jeremy Piven, and the girls are like, no penis,
they used to
no
have
penis.
A thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a whole thing.
Guys,
yeah,
I gotta say, this sounds
trash.
No!
incredibly tedious.
All right, this well, so that's kind of the deal.
Terrible to me.
Lee, let's get to okay. let's get to the stuff. We'll get into whether it's good or
all
bad
right.
at the end. Yeah.
Okay.
It's bad. But anyway, so. Oh, I. I'll just for the sake of like of being, of giving some fair shake. Here's something I liked.
Okay.
Exactly at 4 minutes and 20 seconds into the movie,
hey!
a character asks another character if that person is a narc.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hashtag blaze it.
Which. Yep. Feel like had to be on purpose.
Yeah.
Like,
yep. It must
yeah.
have.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
There's a couple things that like I feel like are not maybe like full fledged like catchphrases or things that have lasted, but there's a few like kind of weird comments that people make that I think I didn't realize came out of this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's one of those. Good.
Yeah, like the Kane Hackman theory. 24 hours a day, you can find a Gene Hackman or Michael Caine movie on TV.
Oh, interesting.
That's from this movie.
I don't know that that holds anymore. Maybe in the 90s that was probably true.
Well, I know, but I've heard that like I've heard that joke construction
with
where it's
other
like,
actors or actresses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you come to my house, then it's on any available screen.
You get just 24 hours a day.
Yep, 24 hours a day. Yeah. It's just and it's not
just
because it's
Seth's.
Yeah. It's because it's
Seth's stroking the screen anytime.
Guys, that's another bleep. We've bleeped that exact movie in several episodes now.
I love that movie.
It's very
good.
It's
actually really
good.
It's
very good, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think the biggest thing that comes out of this movie that I didn't remember happened in this movie was Jon Favreau is going to go see a band, and he ends up missing the show. But before he's going to go, he's wearing the shirt of that band, and Jeremy Piven's like, "You're gonna wear the shirt of the band you're gonna see? Don't be that guy."
Yep.
Which is a thing I can remember hearing
constantly.
All over the place.
Yeah.
But Zach, I think you pointed out that later in the movie, George Clinton is wearing a George Clinton shirt.
He's wearing a P-Funk shirt to play his own show as himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the whole thing about P-Funk was they wore like bizarro, amazing costumes. George Clinton.
I've been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That is the best exhibit
by
far.
Oh, my God, for sure. Yeah. Hmm. But yeah, George Clinton inexplicably wearing just a George Clinton t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get into my stuff. Oh, one other crazy thing. There's like a weird like. Favreau's character has like a paranoia dream sequence at some point where he's testifying in front of Congress about drug use.
Yeah.
And they use C-SPAN footage in that sequence.
Nice.
Which means that technically Ted Kennedy, Joe Biden, and Orrin Hatch have speaking roles in this movie. So
we had joked about giving you those three people and George Clinton as the only actors in this.
That
would have
been
happened.
Pretty good. Oh, man.
I think we could have landed on something amazing.
Yeah.
There,
yeah.
But alas, we did not.
Alas, no.
Zach, do you want to talk about stuff before I launch into my irritations?
Yes, definitely. I have like a maybe sad to you guys 3-word summary, and that would be, why not me? Because for me, this movie was I believe a Comedy Central movie back in the day.
This is how I knew the movie. Yeah. I saw it maybe 5,000 times.
Yes, Comedy Central. Agreed. Right. Also, mm-hmm. between 5,000 and 7,000 times.
How did I miss it?
I don't know.
Inexplicable.
Yeah.
Maybe I did see pieces of it and just never realized what it was.
Yeah, quite possible.
That seems entirely possible because if you're not watching it, mm-hmm. all of the non-connected scenes are very like disparate.
Yeah,
I could see that.
Not memorable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was gonna say I remember watching this as a kid and thinking about like how dope this house would be as a place to live in college. Like the movie aside, this would have been paradise in college if you just had like 30 friends and like a giant like actual like it's like a gymnasium. It's bonkers. It's so cool.
Filth level.
Well,
I did live.
Yeah.
There
no. College, yeah. Same. But... Yeah. but yeah, then I was thinking, so now that I'm in my 30s, I'm like 600 times more enthralled with how dope this house would have been in college. Like, again, like we all had like shithole apartments and whatever, but like
I didn't.
Good for you.
Yeah. My apartments Congrats. Were all quite pleasant. All of the houses I lived in through all of my degrees were very clean and well, except for that one guy that used to make chicken nuggets every single day.
I'm so happy for you that no one used to ash on your floor habitually,
yeah.
and that you never found a shot glass full of jizz in the kitchen sink after your birthday party one year.
Yep,
like,
yep.
I'm so glad.
Jesus Christ, is that how everyone else in the world lived?
I mean, yeah. I had to cut out.
I thought my chicken nugget bro was bad,
no.
but. Oh.
I had to cut out several hookah coal burns in our carpets and.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And patch them up. Oh, my God. You cut out pieces from the closets and you bring them out
yeah,
to
yeah,
the
yeah.
regular floor.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
We had all hardwood most of the time, and hookah coals tended to end up on couches.
Yeah. Well, so I was going to say, yeah, we had two couches.
And
we had
people's groins.
We had occasionally. I had several on my arms. Yeah, it was not fun.
Yeah, it sucks.
We had
Seth hot dick fart noise.
Oh dear. We had two couches. We had the piss couch and the not piss couch. And when my one roommate fell asleep, we made sure he was sleeping on the piss couch because it was gonna happen. It was gonna happen.
Oh, that's so gross.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was filth. Anyway.
See, I'm with you, like, I love the idea of having a giant, like, palatial thing to share with friends. But that's not what this movie's about. It just also happens to exist
in
this movie.
Well, they idealized the whole situation. Like, I think that was the thing. Like, when I was a kid, I was looking at that like, oh my god, is that college? That sounds fucking dope!
You mean guys and girls are in, like, the same house?
Yeah,
together?
And you can, like, play instruments in your giant gymnasium living room? That sounds so cool! Yeah,
oh, speaking of which, Seth, the CEO of Hooli from the show Silicon Valley is in this movie. He plays the drummer in the shitty house.
He does. He does. Mm. Yep. Yeah, I guess a couple other things. So the dangerous electrical work in this movie is wildly upsetting. yeah, as a person
this
who has
is,
done
this,
this
is something I can get behind. Yeah.
Yeah, as a person who has done this recently in their own abode, they don't even have a circuit breaker. It's an ancient like tube and knob fuse box. So
yeah.
There's no circuits. Ooh. There's just like screw in and screw out fuses, and it's a fucking mm-hmm. nightmare. And when they're trying, when the power goes out and he's trying to like get it back on so they can throw the party and the band can play,
you gotta lick your fingers.
Yeah, he tries to connect it with his tongue. He's holding the one wire and like puts his tongue out like trying to get it. Can't reach it. So yeah, he just pulls the wire down and short circuits the whole thing and then like Frankenstein levers the whole thing back on. Mm-hmm. And it works.
Oh my god.
Yeah. It's amazing.
When I was throwing parties down in my college house, I used to have to go down into the basement because we had a pretty low ceiling down there,
mm-hmm.
and there was a lot of loose hanging wires, and not all of them were dead. So I used to have to go down there with a pair of really thick gloves and like stuff them up into the rafters and shit before every party.
Yeah. Woof.
Oh boy.
I guess. Two more things. David Spade's mouth sounds in this movie are so good.
That's a great band name, David Spade's yeah. mouth sounds.
He does the like 90s David Spade thing where all the noises he makes are just like, like he's just like a sad baby. It's wonderful. That... it's like perfectly him. It's great. And then I guess
that is true.
Yeah. My last one, direct quote from, I don't know, a source online. On the film's DVD commentary, Jeremy Piven complained that Bachner, the director, did not let him improvise. The actor felt the movie would have been funnier had he been allowed to do so.
That's why I'm a better director/writer.
But
because
no, the,
you let him improvise.
But the prospect of Jeremy Piven, noted nightmare asshole, being like, oh, let me take like 3 or 4 more of those. Let's just keep rolling. Like, that's
yeah.
I really want to explore the studio space with that.
I'm just watching Ari Gold, like Entourage, just it sucks. It's not fun. Yeah.
So
I think that's all my bits.
I finally remembered the like all that crazy wiring stuff that you were talking about, what that reminded me of, and that was the electrician Nitro, aka
Kelsey Grammer.
Mike, in
aka played by Artie, the strongest man in the world.
Yeah, that's definitely what I was thinking.
That's for sure another bleep, because that is a movie that is
classic fucking movie.
Very good for this podcast. Yes.
We got to get some Toby Huss up in this show. I bet he would.
I bet he would. He's a very fine Southern gentleman. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. That
right,
just
no,
happened
no.
upon my brain.
Yeah. Lee, do all your shitting ons.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, first off, I don't know if you guys have seen all the stuff that has come out recently about Jeremy Piven.
No.
Oh, I assume
that he's a garbage human. But,
yeah, I was gonna say like
serial sexual harasser and potentially sexual assaulter.
Yeah, this is not at all surprising. He sucks the most as a human. Like,
it is not in any least bit surprising, but I did want to just point out.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Fuck Jeremy Piven.
Yeah,
with a stick.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
Like, he has clearly never been a good enough actor to pull off anything other than an impression of his own garbage personality, and now it's at least confirmed, you know.
It
hey,
is, and yet he
piece of shit.
He's worked forever and like is very famous. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the only regret I'll ever have about finding out he's a bad person is I can't watch that scene in The Goods anymore with all the dildos.
Oh, The Goods is a very good movie, despite it being sort of like a Netflix throwaway. Yeah.
No, yeah. I never saw
anyway.
It.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's good. It's about used car sales.
Okay.
It's very fun. Yeah.
Oh,
well, son of a bitch,
I think...
Zach.
I'll bleep all of it. It's fine. We're going to have like half an episode
Seth...
by the time we're done.
Seth didn't
oh.
see this.
No, guests. But I think I have seen parts of it. So
I mean,
now you've been friends with me for
nearly 7 years. You've seen that scene.
Yeah,
like you've seen that. I've shown it to you.
Yeah, I can recall.
It's...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so since Zach brought up the disallowing of improvisation. I want to bring up who the director of this movie is.
Okay.
Seth, you remember Die Hard?
I sure do.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember the asshole character who hits on Holly Gennaro McClain and does a bunch of cocaine and gets shot in the face?
I sure do. Beardy McGee.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hart Bachner, the director of PCU.
How? Actually, no. Speaking of which, I was reading about this today. He also directed High School High.
The John Lovitz movie,
and he credits these two movies with his quote like Hollywood blackballing. He's like, these ruined my directing career, and I was like, I don't know if that was it, but okay.
I think it was the lack of talent that went into directing these movies that ruined your career,
and all the cocaine
you ruined your directing career.
Okay, so.
Oh boy.
Where do I start? All right. This movie is like a Dennis Leary stand-up routine turned into a plot.
Okay. And not like I the believe... ref or...
No. It's somehow more Dennis Leary stand-up routine into a plot than the fucking ref. A movie where he repeatedly does his stand-up routine.
Yeah.
I think that a time-traveling Newt Gingrich wrote this script. Teenage Newt Gingrich got himself a time machine, or he got unstuck in time, someone, and showed up in the 90s and handed this to the biggest douchebag he could find, which turned out to be Hart Buckner. And that's how this movie got made.
Do you think that maybe Newt Gingrich and Steve Zahn are mortal enemies?
I think that is definitely true. This is part of our imaginarium. So this is the faking movie's imaginarium.
They're diametrically opposed Time Lords, where Steve Zahn is pure good and Newt Gingrich is like the heart of all evil.
Yeah.
Newt Gingrich is the dark man in the desert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely yes. Hell yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
They one time did battle on the Senate floor.
Yeah.
And then the Earth ceased to exist and we had to start over. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. But we only were able to start over because Steve Zahn gave of himself.
Yes.
To do so.
That's true.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Children of Zahn. Hashtag children of Zahn.
One of us. One of us.
God, I hope we can get Steve Zahn on this show someday. That'd be amazing.
He seems really chill. I bet he would come.
I bet he would.
Hell yeah.
All right, so that'll be our goal for next week.
I guess my main like fury with this movie is David Spade and his young Republican cohort are painted to be the villains,
but very squarely
the entire time. Yeah, the entire time the anti-PC rebels who are painted to be the heroes have no clue that they are fighting for the exact same things, like. These two groups in all their scenes are complaining about the same shit. We go from one scene where Piven and his friends are like, oh, these fucking feminists are protesting this and these people are protesting me. Cut to David Spade. The feminists, all they want is to get fucked and they won't admit it. The vegans, why don't they just eat meat? They are saying the exact same things over and fucking over again. Well, and neither side knows.
So it's like libertarians and Republicans fighting?
Well, but they're even closer. I think, well, the problem I see with that is that they do also hate each other. Like, the preppies rockers or whatever. Like,
see, that sounds entirely like the libertarian-Republican fight, where they both hate poor people just so much.
Well, I guess.
But here's my thing. It's like...
They hate poor people and women so much.
Well, yeah.
But can't agree on the level of government involved.
Yeah.
So this is my thing, is like... The whole, like, Dennis Leary, no cure for cancer, like, I want to smoke, and I want to eat meat, and I don't want people to tell me no.
God, he sucks.
Think about what, like, mid-2000s neoconservative talk radio was all about.
Oh, yeah.
I want to smoke, and I want to eat meat, and I don't want people to tell me no.
Yeah.
They're the same fucking people.
Yeah, like, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay.
The neocons just, like, convinced... these people who thought they were being super liberal, but they were just being bigoted assholes into thinking that they were enemies, but really they were just recruiting new fucking Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Okay.
And this, what this whole movie is about, it's celebrating being a bigoted asshole because you think, oh no, it's not cool to protest, man.
Yeah.
You just gotta let everybody have their civil liberties, but their civil liberties always happen to be asshole white guy things.
Yeah.
So fuck this movie.
Well, all right. I mean,
Okay. So Zach, give me some positives.
Yeah. Well, all right. I think it exemplifies like the. This happens all the time in movies. Like back to Animal House, which admittedly has its problems. Obviously,
it does indeed. Yeah.
But like, whenever there's something.
Oh, you mean that movie that has rape scenes?
Yeah,
and stuff
a lot of that.
Problems?
A lot of that. Yep.
Yeah, but, multiple rape scenes.
But like, college is very idealized in movies, and I think I enjoy that. Like through Van Wilder, through you know all of like this movie,
through Van Wilder 2, The Rise of Taj.
Yeah.
Through presumably other movies, Stealing Harvard, for example, Orange County.
Yeah.
I do like both of those movies, actually.
Yeah.
But, like, for me, I mean, so, like, Lee's point is not not wrong, certainly. But I think the Pitt people...
Thank you for agreeing with me, Zach. It was really big of you to stop talking.
the Pitt people, like, they exemplify the, like, why can't we just have fun thing-ish. If you can look past the, like, the bits that Lee was talking about, like... They really do sort of just want to, like, have fun with George Clinton and, like, live in their house and stuff. And I don't know. There's something very, like, nostalgic about college-y times for me with that.
Hmm.
Yeah, and, like, I get it. Like, when you're in college, there is a level of, like, you're always going to be kind of an idiot.
I know I fucking was. Yeah, absolutely, yes.
But at the core of this movie, the version of liberalism that they like champion in this movie is just a bunch of conservatives shitting on liberals. Like,
yeah, certainly. I mean, it was the 90s. Like, the politics in the 90s were very weird. Like, it makes sense for the time, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah, I didn't become super shitty until I started my master's program and started hanging out with you fools. So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, we did turn you into a trash bird. So
yeah, that is it's all right.
We are known to have brought people down. That's fair.
Trash birds forever.
Everybody comes down to our level. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're like stealth bombers of shittiness because we fly so low to the ground.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're like a daisy cutter of shittiness.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I think we pretty much covered it. Should we?
This movie. You're right. We did cover it. Yeah. What are the numbers?
Oh, man.
What are the rates, shit numbers out here.
All right. So IMDb. This. So 11,000 votes. This was, I guess, not as big of a movie as I thought it was.
it was on Comedy Central a lot.
It was. You would think that would be like millions, but here we are. 6.6, which is honestly not bad for IMDb. Hmm. Yeah, it's pretty reasonable.
That's pretty high, actually.
Yeah. So
unforgivably so.
I guess, Lee, I'll let you kick it off.
Yeah, this movie gets a 1 because there's a couple jokes that are funny.
Oh my
but
god!
At the end of the day, it's just it's this undercover shittiness that like tricks you into not realizing how shitty it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, god damn it, the Dennis Leary politics of this movie piss me off. plus Piven is not a good leading man, and he's a terrible leading man. He's supposed to be a fucking college kid, and he doesn't have any hair,
and he's a middle-aged car salesman. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks younger in that movie that's 20 years later.
He does. And in Entourage, honestly, looks better, thinner, younger. Yeah.
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 Okay.
For Seth's movie?
There's nowhere to go, but well, I guess you could go down from 1. I guess that's technically possible. So,
you're absolutely right, Seth. I could go down.
Mm-hmm.
But why would I? Soar so high with your uplifting message of community service and involvement at the end.
Yeah.
Some weird for me.
Can I give it 2 ratings?
I guess.
So, on its own merit, I think, Seth, I'm going to give your movie a 7.
Okay, solid.
I thought I enjoyed it. It was like not
an entirely
original. Yeah, it was not an entirely original idea, but like it was well executed, and I enjoyed the message at the end. But if you had marketed it heavily as a comedy, and then I went to go see it and saw that movie, it would probably be more like a 4.5.
Yeah. You're the guy that stands up during the credits before the lights come up and go, I was tricked.
Okay.
What about my 2 other plots, though?
Oh,
Congo and Cool Hand Luke, I guess.
Yeah, I like the prison one a lot. I'd give the prison one a 7 also. Mm-hmm. And the other one, I don't know how much sesame cake is going to be in it and how much of it is Tim Curry going to be allowed to eat.
Yeah.
I'll give it a rating of Tim Curry eating sesame cake.
Okay.
It's a sliding a scale. Sliding scale.
Yeah. Like that one. I like that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Solid. A solid showing for lying to you about it being a comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I went to see Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind on opening night.
Did you think it was going to be a comedy?
No, I knew it wasn't going to be a comedy because I knew what the like I read that it wasn't
a comedy. Yeah, that is rough.
But I have never been in a movie theater full of more confused people in my entire life.
Where's all the bumblebee tuna? I want bumblebee tuna. Yeah.
I heard one person as I was leaving the theater go, "What the fuck was that?" The only part I laughed at was when that bald guy talked about birdhouses.
Wait, this is in the notably unfavorable town that you grew up in?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes much more sense then.
Yeah, that makes much more sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a big art house town.
No.
Not to say that that's so much of an art house movie, but like,
well, it
appeals to that sort of demographic though.
It's no Dumb and Dumber.
It's an art house movie compared to Jim Carrey's normal stuff, but
yeah. Yeah, makes sense. All right, so OGPCU, I'm, as I often do, I'm going to look past all of the downsides and just focus on the good sides. I'm gonna go 8.5 on OG.
What?
Yep.
What the fuck?
So when we picked this movie,
Zach, I'm sorry, bro. You have terrible taste. Oh, what are you talking about?
Oh, famously, yes, famously. When we picked this movie for Seth, I was so excited because I remembered it being so awesome. And then I watched it, and me and Lee talked about it, and Lee obviously hated it very much.
Uh-huh.
But I loved it almost as much as I did when I was like 13. Like, it was just so good. Super into it. Seth's...
I do have one more positive.
Oh, by all means. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
It was only 1 hour and 20 minutes long.
Yeah. It was short. That's true.
That's 2 hours on Comedy Central.
Oh, easily.
Yeah,
yes,
it was a perfect 2-hour time slot, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Seth, your first two, I think, were promising, honestly. Like, they were... For throwaways, they were... good, I would say.
I mean, the pentacyclo undecane is really it's really kind of an important chemical.
Yeah, I also am a huge fan of the science movies, obviously, so into it.
Mm-hmm.
Your actual movie,
I'll go
an 8.6. I'll go 8.6. It had all the funds. It was very good. I think the hallmark of that for me is like, if there's like a happy ending, like it was bummer, 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 bummer. Oh, just kidding. George Clinton, happy ending. Like that's perfect. Mm-hmm. That's perfect for a 90s movie. It's exactly what everybody wanted. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm totally.
Especially all the Latin in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big. That's a real crowd pleaser, generally.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And that was the best part, obviously. Yep. Clearly. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh,
great. You know what else? You know what else I didn't like about PCU? Oh,
God damn it.
Was it too much Latin?
I refuse to believe that I lived in a world where in 1994 a bunch of white college kids from Connecticut knew who Parliament Funkadelic was.
This might be one of the few points where
they were.
Yeah.
Not just knew who they were, but from a distance could hear them playing
and go like, "What?
Hey.
That it was them live and not
Parliament Funkadelic?"
Yeah. No, that's true. They are outside the thing and they hear that playing and they go, "Is that P-Funk playing right now live?" It's like, "Yeah, it could be a CD." Or maybe a tape at that time.
An 8-track? Because nobody knows what 1994 was like.
No, it's true. It's very, very, very good.
Oh, wait,
point.
No, I've got another bullshit thing.
Art in the Clinton administration. Mm-hmm.
All they do is make fun of fucking groups, like interest groups. Like, the fucking feminist group is in the party, and a dude goes like, hey, can I buy you a drink? And the girl's like, fuck off, get away from me. And then another girl is like, yeah, maybe. And he buys her a drink. And the first girl's like, wait, if you're nice to them, they'll do stuff for you? And then she's not a feminist anymore.
Yeah, she's the leader of the feminists. And she goes, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. And then that's it. Yeah, it's forever changed. Yep.
Fuck this movie, Zach. I don't know what, I can't even. I don't even want to look at you anymore. Turn your camera off.
Oh, no.
No, it's
are we,
fun.
Are
it's
we breaking fun. Up?
Oh!
No, we're not breaking up. I think we just need some time apart.
Yeah,
I think.
We'll go to counseling and shit. That'll be
okay,
fine.
Yeah.
That'll be
okay,
fine.
Good.
All right.
Very
well,
good.
The dog has to go to the vet soon, so we gotta, like,
I forgot about the dog.
Patch it up.
Oh, my
that.
God. Who's been feeding the dog?
Oh, whoopsie dizzle.
That's good.
I can't remember. I had the point. No, I can't remember it.
All right. Well.
Oh shit! Wait. Oh, Steve Vai wrote the score to this movie.
Oh yeah, that was a big point. That's super weird.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very famous in the '90s, Steve Vai. Yeah, very weird. Yep.
If you like getting high and listening to guitar solos, you are a Steve Vai
also
fan.
Also wrote the score for a movie that stars the entire P-Funk band. Like, what the fuck? That doesn't make any goddamn sense. So silly. Ugh. All right. No. So next week.
Oh, one more thing.
Oh, God.
People need to stop stealing our IP.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
We've been doing this for 37 episodes, and suddenly people are stealing our IP.
We started June 2017. Look it up.
Look it up, fools. Yeah. And
or
don't
as
you...
I'm sure future times will come to know it, the day zero of the new calendar.
Yeah,
of the new world order. Yeah.
So let's have that marked down for all the peeps that are stealing our IP right now. We had this idea first.
In our future calendar, winter will be known as Chinatown, because winter is the fucking worst.
It only lasts 1 week, but it's really awful. Yeah,
right,
there's
pay attention to that, dear listener.
Yeah,
in case you hear somebody trying to emulate us.
There's some new
first,
new
jams.
Yeah, and Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, so next week Lee's going to do The Pope of Greenwich Village.
oh boy.
Yeah,
just a spoiler. I'm going to get a real literal with the word pope.
Yeah. Sounds fun. So that'll be fun.
Oh boy.
All right, so Seth did it better and also less fraternities, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also very funky.
Yeah.
it was still very funky. On a personal note, guys, I think I finally found a movie that's better than Chinatown.
What? One? Not all? Okay, go on.
Oh, wait. Shit, worse than.
Oh, okay.
Can we take that over
again? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
we can do that again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,